This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'd like to welcome you to The State of Politics. This is our weekly look at state politics from the inside. Each week we get together with the managing editor and Capitol Bureau chief of the Michigan Public Radio Network, and welcome back, Rick Pluta.
Hello, David.
It's been an interesting week in the world of state politics, to say the least. One of the issues that continues to draw attention and concern in the Ann Arbor and Washtenaw County area is guns in schools. Now, while the state Supreme Court weighs arguments on a couple of cases on that front, new legislation came forward this week to address school safety. But if I'm correct, more than a few folks believe this is legislation that probably lacks some key components.
Yeah, that would be true. That Governor Rick Snyder laid out a series of proposals, some of which have been introduced in the legislature in bill form. And these proposals focus on grants for pilot projects, learning about best practices, maybe helping schools that don't have all of the safety features, doors that lock automatically, things like that, with some assistance getting that done, and also auditing schools to make sure that they're doing everything that they can do within the law to keep students safe. Now, what's not part of it are any proposals relating to firearms, access to firearms, anything like that. But the governor says there's a reason for that.
I view these as hopefully relatively common sense, best practice kind of things that we can do a lot of good things to protect our kids more with. And there's a whole another series of issues that involve guns in some fashion that tend to have great controversy that are very polarizing. And as you know, sometimes if you put them all out at the same time, nothing may happen and the good things may get left behind.
And the governor says if you bring guns into it, then everything else you might do, the good things might be left behind.
Do you have a sense of whether the governor might just boot this issue to his successor, or is it part of his personal perspective, having experienced a school shooting at the University of Michigan, that is shaping his decision to kind of be standoffish on this?
Yeah, in 1981, Governor Snyder was living in a residence hall at the University of Michigan where he was a student, and there was a campus shooting in the residence hall that left two people dead. And he said he remembers watching the students being carried out on the stretchers, and that's just something that he's never forgotten. And for a governor who can be very, very logical, that he can get a little emotional when he recounts that particular experience. The governor has said that he does not think that more guns in schools is the answer, even though there is, as you pointed out, the court case that's hanging out there about whether people with concealed weapons can openly carry in schools. There are proposals in the legislature. The governor has said that he favors a red flag law that would allow authorities to seize temporarily weapons from people who are deemed by a court to be a danger to themselves or others. But he said that bringing those into this, as you just heard, might stall the other things that we could do right now to make schools safer.
There is an entirely new politically active contingent in our state and throughout the country that is very invested in dealing with the issue of guns in schools, gun safety, gun rights legislation, and of course, better protections for those in our schools. Students are going to walk out at 10 o'clock this morning as part of a nationally organized walkout protesting gun violence. It was specifically organized for today because this happens to be the 19th anniversary of the tragic Columbine school shootings in Colorado. Are these young people drawing the attention of state lawmakers as these consider these package of bills?
I have not seen anything in Lansing, in the legislature, that would suggest that people are moving off of their positions for or against gun rights, for or against whether or not we should be allowing firearms in what are called weapons-free zones under the state's concealed pistol law. However, there does seem to be growing pressure to do something or at least be perceived as doing something to make sure that students in schools are protected.
You're listening to The State of Politics on 89.1 WEMU. We're talking with Rick Pluta, the managing editor and Capitol Bureau chief of the Michigan Public Radio Network. And Rick, that leads us to the need for some election talk, because that is very much at the center. The race for the Republican nomination expectedly saw a fourth candidate enter this week. Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly turned in his signatures. What is going to shape the race heading to the August primary?
Well, now it's really this seems to be the field. The four candidates who have been most active, which are Lieutenant Governor Kelly, State Attorney General Bill Schuette, State Senator Patrick Colbeck, and Dr. Jim Hines, who's a bit of a dark horse candidate. And the way that we're seeing the race shape up at this point is Bill Schuette is running as the most pro-Trump Republican.
In fact, has the president's endorsement and vice president, if I'm correct.
He has already been endorsed by President Trump and Vice President Pence, and he's trying to make the most of that. Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly is running as the heir apparent to Governor Rick Snyder.
And there's a lot of folks in both parties unhappy with Governor Snyder, so how's that going to play out?
Well, the idea is that you argue that the economy is improving, that overall Michigan is on a good path going forward, and that the lieutenant governor is the best person to continue the policies that would make that happen. As you pointed out, though, there is a real political problem there, which is that the governor isn't exactly popular with the Republican base in Michigan, nor with the general public. But there is, and this is the stated strategy of the Kelly campaign, that you've also got Patrick Colbeck in the race, who is arguably the most representative of a fiercely conservative pro-Trump faction of the Republican Party.
Yeah, in fact, has the endorsements of Fox News host Sean Hannity and U.S. Mm-hmm. Senator Ted Cruz, among others.
Right. And so the idea, if you're the Brian Kelly campaign, is that Bill Schuette and Patrick Colbeck split that vote of the right populist end of Republican primary voters. Maybe Dr. Jim Hines peels off a few as well. And then you do a run up the center, capture the pro-business Republicans and independents and get them to vote for you and create a scenario much like what Rick Snyder used 7.5 years ago when he was running in the primary against two candidates
right.
who were basically splitting the conservative vote.
Well, if the strategy works, you stick with it, right?
I guess so.
Well, what about the Democratic
side? You work
side?
With what you got.
Exactly. Gretchen Whitmer, by most accounts, leads in the polls early on. Is that something that's going to hold?
Well, I would quibble. Gretchen Whitmer is not leading in the polls right now. Undecided is leading, which is making Democrats argue that this race isn't over and that there's plenty of room to persuade people. Sri Tanadar is spending a lot of money to build his name ID.
Certainly money of his own, right?
Yep, it's his own money. It appears to be working right now, but we will see how cemented that support is once Gretchen Whitmer and other candidates start running television ads. Then there's also Dr. Abdul El Sayed, who's capturing the attention of a portion of the progressive wing of the Democratic coalition, although he still has to answer or get answers to the question of whether he is, in fact, eligible to run. The El Sayed campaign filed a legal complaint against the Secretary of State, but the purpose was to demand a decision on whether or not he was eligible to run based on the fact that he had registered to vote and, in fact, did vote in New York in 2012, and whether that invalidated his Michigan voter registration. And because you have to be a registered voter in Michigan for 4 years to run for governor, that would potentially make him ineligible. And so they want that question answered. And what the Secretary of State, the State Elections Bureau, said was, well, you know what? We're not trying to keep you off the ballot. We're processing your nominating petition signatures just like we would anyone else. And so even though there might be a question, there's not a conflict, or at least not a conflict between us. And so this will have to wait for someone else to challenge Dr. El Sayed's eligibility. Now, the El Sayed campaign has claimed that this proves that he is eligible to run, and that is just not true.
Well, with undecided leading in the polls, I want to pose this final question, Rick.
Sure.
At last weekend's Democratic endorsement convention in Detroit, delegates threw their support to Dana Nessel for attorney general. The more traditional candidate, Pat Miles, has agreed to throw his support behind Nessel's candidacy. This was considered somewhat of a minor upset anyway, but does it potentially provide some insights as to what kind of candidates Democrats are looking to support around the state this time around?
Look, Dana Nessel out-organized Patrick Miles, period. That she recruited new delegates, progressive delegates, who were more committed to coming in bad weather to vote for her. And if she can build on that coalition going into November, that might be good not just for her, but for Democrats in general. Although the first thing that they've got to do now is go back and mend fences with African Americans. Patrick Miles was is an African American and was considered sort of the representative of the Rainbow Coalition that a lot of traditional Democrats expect to be represented on the ticket. So now that increases pressure on whoever the Democratic nominee is to make sure that there is an African American on the ballot. Now, that could be Bill Cobbs, an African American who's running for governor but seems to be running pretty far behind everyone else, or it could be whoever the eventual nominee selects to run as their lieutenant governor candidate.
So many possibilities, and we're all just getting started. Rick, thank you so much for the time, and we'll look forward to talking again next week.
Always glad to do it.
That is Rick Pluta, the managing editor and Capitol Bureau chief of the Michigan Public Radio Network and our guest each week for The State of Politics. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.